the Zion Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zion Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, Saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date, September 24th, 2020. The world is in turmoil. Most don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, you may text my cell phone and then call me at 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates all about the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, everything you need to know about this ministry at our hub, which is very simply, you got it, prophecyhour.com. Remember, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube. Podcast. It's also on some FM, so pray about supporting airtime. And let's thank our listener base in places like this week, Prague, the Czech Republic, the Russian Federation, and I would point out the city, but it's a Russian name. I just don't want to mangle. And then Croatia. And of course, cities in the United States such as Omaha, Nebraska, San Jose, California, and Greensboro, North Carolina. A shout out to Augusta, Kansas, who listens by satellite, I found out this week. And Wichita, you beat San Jose and a couple others as being the largest group of listeners to our programs when they go to podcast later tonight. Twitter, Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. Now we'll have a prayer and I'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, our prayer radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, glad to have him on the program. My friend Stan Johnson is on with us. He and his wife founded a prophecy club in the Spirit of Prophecy Church. Stan has been studying Bible prophecy for 40 years and teaching it for 30, which clearly qualifies him for doing daily radio programs for 25 years. He's hosted over 160 speakers, making 336 DVDs, all on Bible prophecy. Personally, he's recorded 37 prophecy DVDs, and he's memorized the book of Revelation. A man clearly of many hats, he also is the president and CEO of Prophetic Oil Incorporated, whose goal is to find a prophesized oil in the land of Israel. He has a very important message for us tonight. Well, we're going to talk to him about it. We'll get him in a conversation. Welcome back, Stan. Are you with me?
Thank you, sir. Yes, I'm with you.
Well, I'm so glad to have you on. Last few weeks, you know, we've been talking about wanting repentance for this country and what needed to be done. But, brother, you took some real action this last week. Why don't you tell us what this solemn assembly is? I'm really excited about it.
Well, this all sprang out of these dreams that this Dana Coverstone began having now about 7 weeks ago. In case you're not familiar with a brief overview, so he's just a pastor, you know, kind of a small church like us, 50, 60 people go to the church, and about 7 weeks ago, all of a sudden he started getting dreams, and they have rattled America, including Facebook and all of the various views that he's got on, I think there are now 8 dreams. He's got about 6 million views on Facebook and YouTube. So we had him in because one, here, let me skip up to it here. One of his dreams said that he needed, if we wanted to avoid this, he needed to pray, but just having just one person praying would not be enough. He needed to call a solemn September assembly. So I had been praying, Lord, you know, I know you're talking to somebody out there, and whoever you're talking to, get it to me. I want to know what you're saying to whomever you're speaking it to. And I believe that he was speaking to me, obviously not just to me, but anyway, so I called him up, we made friends, and we organized a solemn September assembly. Here's what he said. I saw in handwriting words in the front of the word September, those words being a solemn, and the word assembly written after it, it clearly stated a solemn September assembly. And he says that in order for us to possibly be able to soften or delay the problems that are coming for America, this is what we need, a solemn September assembly. So we set it up to be Friday sundown to Sunday sundown, September 18, 19, 20. Dana Coverstone came in along with some other ministers, and here's what we did. I told them, which, by the way, you can read all about it at watchmanstrumpet.com. I told all of our listeners, as did Dana Coverstone on his Facebook and YouTube page, bring your pillows, bring your prayer pads. We're going to get on our face, and we're going to cry out to God for 48 hours. We're going to fast. Well, we had, I should have gotten an exact count, but it was somewhere around 450 people came from all across the nation. And I tell you what, if you had stood in the room, if you had watched the people walk in, you would have been blessed. I think many of you would have broke into tears because these people started walking in, and they weren't coming in for entertainment. They were not coming in. By the way, I'm not a crybaby. I don't know why. I can't tell them I'm not a, well, I didn't used to be a nurse.
Folks, Stan's not a crybaby. You must be very nervous. You know, I have known you since the early 90s. Go on. And I watched part of that, Stan. I was astounded by it. Go on, though.
So I saw people walk in, and they were dragging their prayer pads, their pillows, 16-ounce drinks. And they found themselves a place to sit, and immediately they rolled out their prayer pad or their prayer cloth or their prayer mat, whatever it was they were going to pray on. And, I mean, the look on their face was like people going to war. They weren't coming in to hear some speaker. They weren't coming in to be entertained. They weren't coming in to do praise and worship, though that's what we did, some of it. But they were coming in because inside their heart, felt probably like molten liquid metal, the desire to pray. The desire to pray behind a microphone and be heard and have some 450 other people pray in agreement with them. I had said, here's what we're going to do. This is the formula. And I'd prayed and prayed and prayed in my prayer closet. And,
right. Take a minute. You know, Stan.
I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to structure this. You have to show me. I just kept begging. You have to show me. You have to show me. How do I structure it? So he laid on my heart. 30 minutes morning, 30 minutes evening. And then like a little 15, 20-minute talk from one of the ministers. But it's not a talk like a teaching or something like that or a sermon. Instead, it was a talk to motivate them or a talk to point them in the right direction. Like, for example, one of the talks I gave was on suitcase nukes because we had to pray against those suitcase nukes. So we would have every hour or two, we'd have a minister get up and talk. But most of the rest of the time, it went to open microphone, five-minute limit. And, I mean, we had a man standing 4 foot from the microphone, stopwatch in hand, and when they started getting close to 5 minutes, he would step closer and a little. So by the time their 5 minute time limit was up, he was standing right in their face and very kind, but at the same time, it let them. And they were very happy to end at the 5 minutes. But I mean, I saw people get up there that were shaking like a leaf and scared to death. to speak before a group of people, but they had fire in their heart. They had fire in their lips, fire in their words, and by golly, they wanted to pray for our nation. They wanted to pray for our president. And they got up there with fire in their words, and they poured out their heart. It just broke my heart. They poured out their heart, one after another, after another, after another, after another. And sometimes they'd get up there. Sometimes they'd get done. They'd go right back to the back of the line. And by the way, the line typically had 5 to 15 people standing in line 48 straight hours. I mean, they just let the microphone drop. They did not let one time when there was someone not praying behind that microphone. I mean, in the overnight, we had staff members there. We had people there helping them, making sure that they were staying on track. In other words, we didn't allow any teaching. We didn't allow any ministry in there. We told people we're gathering under one name, Jesus. No divisions, no denominations, no doctrines. We're gathering under one name, the name of Jesus, and we're praying for one thing, America. Only one thing. We're not praying for your families. We're not praying for your churches, your businesses, your finances, nothing that. As a matter of fact, someone said, well, can you guys pray for us? No, that's not what we're here for. One name, Jesus, one thing, America. But I saw these people get up. Some people would pray one time. They'd go back and they'd grab out their tablet. They would start writing down. They'd make their notes. Some people wrote it out word for word. Some people just made notes, and they'd get back in that line. And sometimes they had to stand in that line, you know, at 5 minutes a person, people deep. You know, they'd stand there for over an hour to get up there their turn. But by golly, I saw these little people, little skinny people. I saw big, powerful people. I saw old people. I saw young people. And they stood up there behind that microphone, and I mean, they absolutely ripped. It was like finally, I'm going to say what I want to say. I'm going to pray about this nation. And they cast out demons. Oh, and I should also say this about the shofar. By the way, that guy that plays that shofar, that's the most awesome shofar. But to start the meeting, I told everybody to bring their shofars. We would blow it as instructed. And yeah, probably 40% of them had shofars. But out of 450 people in the room, try to imagine being in a room with a fourth of those, a third of those are shofars. Okay.
Wow.
Here's what I did. I said, so we're going to start this thing at directly at sundown, the first night. That's when we're going to start it. And that's when our fast starts, at sundown. So we all
and that was the Feast of Trumpets. Go ahead.
But hang on. I'm going to get there. Hang on.
Okay.
Hang on.
Sorry.
But we started the meeting with the shofar blow. But, of course, the Feast of Trumpets didn't start until sundown Saturday. That didn't stop us. We're still going to start our meeting sundown Friday with the shofar blow. So we got everybody in a circle holding hands. And I said, okay, at exactly 7:26 p.m., which is sundown, we're going to blow the shofar. Here's the way we're going to do it. I'm going to lift it to my mouth, and we're going to do one big, long, loud blow, one breath. And it may sound like a pig caught under a gate, but we don't care. We're going to do one big, long breath. Then I will lower the shofar. We'll take a breath. Then I will raise it. We'll all raise it together. We'll all blow together the second breath. And we'll go through that, and we'll blow it 7 times. Well, man, if you have not been in a room with that many shofars, you have missed a treat. Just like Ken Peters said, it sounds like a 1970s car horn. It was absolutely awesome. So we blew the shofar. We blew it at sundown, and then the next Saturday morning at precisely 10:39 a.m. is the legal starting of the Feast of Trumpets in Israel, because that's sundown in Israel on Saturday. So, Saturday morning, 10:39, we blew the shofars again. And then that night at our sundown, 7:26, actually 7:25 the next night. So we blew it at 7:25 the next night, and then we blew them again to conclude the entire meeting. So we blew the shofars 4 times, and it was absolutely awesome. Awesome. Okay, so back to the prayer. The power. And this is what I said. I said, man, you know, we got some powerful ministers. You know, Bree Keaton, gone over to the Congo, led 80,000 pygmies to the Lord. This white skinned woman that, I mean, her skin is like powder white and blonde hair and blue eyes. She's going to the deep, dark parts of the jungle where they've never even seen a white person. And she led 80,000 of them to the Lord. That's one of the ministers. We also had Dana Coverstone there. We also had Lou and Soon Hee, young of our associate pastors at our church. We also had Sharon Bolin and also Pastor Massey and his wife. And various ministers would get up various times and they would bring a message. But I said, I'm telling you the prayers of all of you people. I'm telling you the prayers of all of you people dusted anything that the praise and worship, anything that the ministers did. I said, you were the heroes here tonight. You got up there with fire in your mouth and fire in your heart, and you prayed with such fervor. I had one pastor stop me in the hall. He said, stand. I got to tell you. So this guy looks like he's in his late 50s. He said, I'm a pastor. He said, all of my wife's life, she's had a real problem praying. But she has been watching these people pray. She's been watching people pray on the live stream. He says, absolutely set her free. It has absolutely lit her fire. She has gone to pray, and he says, Stan, it's such an answer to prayer. I've never seen my wife pray like this. She said, but I learned how to pray. I learned what real prayer is by watching those people. Those people got up there with fire. I mean, they were casting out demons. They were pulling down strongholds, loosing angels to do warfare. Now, as they're praying, I had also written down about 300 prayer topics that were rotating every 10 minutes in the background. We had a lot of people ask us for copies of those prayer topics, which, by the way, are free for a download at watchmanstrumpet.com. And you can download them, see all of them. If you want to, I'll read off some of them. But the people would get up there, and they would pray. And I'll tell you, about 15%, maybe 20% of them were praying for President Trump, putting angels around about him, that he would be able to do that thing that God wants him to do. And the reason we were doing that is because all of these prophecies through the years, from Demetra Dudeman to Terry Bennett to Shane Warren, and then, of course, Dana Coverstone comes along, and the thing about his dreams that are just so different, so amazing, is their calendar dreams. Yeah, okay, I understand the tsunami is going to hit. I understand the Russians are going to hit. But when? Well, I don't know. Somewhere over the rainbow. But this Coverstone comes along, and he says, in November, in October, in January, this is the picture. This is what's coming. And it has shaken America. It has shaken America. I told him, I said, look at it. I said, I want to make you a Jonah. And he said, I agree. I don't want any of this to come to pass. I said, I don't either. I said, but we're going to get in there. We can't be guaranteed, just like the king of Nineveh. He says, you know, perchance, maybe the Lord will have mercy. And instead of 40 days, Nineveh was destroyed 40 years later. Well, I'd love to think that America had another 40 years. I said, we can't be guaranteed that all of these bad things coming for America can be softened, delayed, or prayed away. But we're, by golly, going to sure get in there and do our best. And so we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed. And I mean, we never had to tell people, hey, you know, there's no one praying. There was always a line. I mean, through the night, we had ministers. We had to have their round the clock, watching the microphone, making certain everything was done decently and in order. And they said the least they saw was five people. And so try to imagine this, 48 straight hours fasting, 48 straight hours to seeing that microphone was filled. So we're either doing praise and worship, or a minister was talking, or that microphone was lit up. And I mean, that you should have seen the people. I saw them get up there, and they were punching their fists in the air with fire in their words, and they were casting out the devil, and they had written out what they wanted to say, and the people were going, amen, amen. There was applause at every one of the end of the prayers. I mean, something special happened. Now, let me read this. So, Coverstone says, I saw clearly stated the solemn September assembly, a clear call to pray during that month. The numbers of people were growing. I saw the contours of the calendar were fitting into the outline of the United States of America. The prayers were getting more aggressive. The numbers were growing when I saw storm clouds over the country. also saw fires around the country and in the country, fires of revival, fires of opposition to the body of Christ. I saw incredible warfare in the heavens, and boy, there was. And it was impacting those on the ground with weariness and the saints from the fight. Believers were holding each other up and standing together without any division, fighting together in prayer. The battle was severe and intense and brutal, and it was. There were wounds and exhaustion among the believers. I tell you what, by like Saturday morning, but man, I was dragging.
Right.
Like my feet were hurt, my back was hurt, and I was taking Tylenol and having people pray for me. I mean, I got to go take a nap. Several times I just told myself, I got to go out to the car later. I got to close my eyes. I'm exhausted. Exhaustion of believers, as I saw, well, the heavens were alive with a kind of battle. It seemed like it lasted forever, but finally, here's the good news. But finally, the battle was over. My eyes were drawn to the last few days of September. And the believers who have been praying, they were broken and wounded, but they were standing victorious. I believe we stood victorious. And I want to believe that we have brought a softening or a delay. I want to believe that we've been able to pray a lot of this away. No guarantee. Like I told them, I said, if we continue to see the same kind of problems in the streets, the same kind of burning and looting, if we continue to see more protests, if things continue or get worse, then I'm going to start wondering whether our prayers were enough. I mean, I know our prayers reached, we know they reached the throne. We know they did. These were powerful prayers, fasted prayers. You get 450, when's the last time you ever heard of 450 people fasting for 48 hours and just praying for our nation? I never heard of it. Maybe
I never have either. I'm going to have to interrupt, Sam, because we got a little over a minute before break. And I want to, when we come back, the first thing I want you to focus on before we go on is I want you to explain for some of the people why a fasting prayer is so big. But tell them where they can find you. You got about 35 seconds or so to tell them where to find everything, and then we'll go to break.
If you want to know about the next solemn prayer assembly, we're trying to put one together, so you'll continue to check watchmanstrumpet.com. You also want to go to prophecyclub.com, and we have a really awesome book offer for 5 books there to tell you all about them. There's a video you can watch. You want to get those. You really, really do, so you can know and understand the last days. I'll tell you more on the other side.
Okay. Well, folks, that's prophecyclub.com, and whenever you catch us in a podcast, I'll have both of those links there for you also. But, hey, we'll be back in about 3 or 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17:26.
In the days of Noah, keeps ringing in my ear. People laugh and scoff when they hear the end is near. They go right on with building, not giving God a thought. Getting about the flood, in anger he once fought. The spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen, the devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find. Some just think of money and how to get some more, but little do they realize God's closing up the door. Soon the door will close, and when they hear it slam, their riches will be all for naught and their soul forever damned. if you'll want to put your trust in wealth, you've lots to fear. For the distant thunders are rumbling and the storm is almost here. You must put your trust in Jesus, for he's our today. When the storm of darkness comes, in him you will be safe. Yes, the spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling him of Jesus, that he's the only one. But most won't even listen, the devil's got him blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find.
The English word Easter is derived from the names Eostra, Istra, Astarte, or Ashtaroth. Astarte was introduced into the British Isles by the Druids and is just another name for Beltis or Ishtar of the Chaldeans and Babylonians. The book of Judges records that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Ashtaroth and forsook the Lord and served him not. Easter is just another name for Ashtaroth, the Queen of Heaven, and was not considered a Christian festival until the 4th century. Spring festivals in honor of the pagan fertility goddesses and the events associated with them were celebrated at the time of Easter. Early Christians celebrated Passover on the 14th day of the first month at even, and a study of the dates on which Easter is celebrated will reveal that it is not observed in accordance with the prescribed time for the observance of Passover. After much debate, the Nicene Council of 325 AD decreed that Easter should be celebrated on the first Sunday after the vernal equinox. History reveals that the pagan festival of Easter originated as the worship of the sun goddess, the Babylonian Queen of Heaven, who was later worshipped under many names, including Ishtar, Sibyl, the Great Mother, or Astarte, for whom the celebration of Easter is named. Easter is not another name for the Feast of Passover. It is a transliteration of the name of a pagan fertility goddess. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. We're going to get right back with Stan, but I just need another 30 seconds of your time, folks. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We are out there in the front line amongst the COVID. You know, we serve, we take care of over 60 people a day. Sometimes it's less, but here's the point. We're taking care of people from all walks of life that are coming to from everywhere, and we have no idea about their backgrounds or anything. We don't turn them away. If they need first aid, they get first aid. If they need food, they get food. If they need clothes, we got it. We give it to them. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. You can donate online or mail a check or money order. You can call, give a donation over the phone. You can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Stan Johnson, and I can't wait to hear more. Are you back, Stan?
Yes, sir.
Amen. That was pretty emotional, the first half of the program. You're talking about the Solemn Assembly and, you know, about over 400, you said maybe 450 people fasting and praying at the same time. A lot of people, believe it or not, don't understand the difference between a prayer and a fasting prayer. So for the people, why is that such greater power? Back to you.
Well, about 858 weeks ago, I started the Fast Track team. I'll explain your question in just a second. So every Tuesday evening at midnight, we begin our fast until Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. And the Bible says wherever two or more agree is touching any one thing, it will be given them. If you ask anything in my name, it shall be given. It says that one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight. You see, fasting is self-correction. It is us, how would I say this? It is us beating on ourselves. It's us saying, yes, I know that I'm but grass before an awesome God. Fasting is a form of, well, I guess there's not another way to say it, of self-correction. So when we go to fast, we're saying, Lord, this is how bad I want you to hear this. This is how important it is to me. So these people fast Tuesday night till 4 p.m. Wednesday afternoon. Every Tuesday evening, I send them an email from me to them, and it has several prayers in it that they, you know, prayers of protection, things like that, because you go praying against the devil without protection of the Lord, and you're in trouble. So I give them a little background about what's going on in the ministry. Then we have our prayers, and then at the bottom of it, I have a specific prayer that I ask everybody to pray. It typically takes less than 2 minutes to pray the prayer. And it has been growing and growing and growing. And so now after 858 weeks, it's up to 1,410 people. And when I have problems in my life, I will put that out to a prayer to my Fast Track team. And whatever it is, I almost always get what I'm asking for. For example, about 6 weeks ago, my daughter Leslie Ann. Now, normally, the only things I ask for, this is surprisingly, it's not prayer for our nation, it's prayer for our ministry. But a large part of the prayer is for our nation. Sometimes it's for personal things, like if Leslie and I were to get sick or something like that. But I recently asked for prayer for my daughter because she was about to lose her baby. Well, long story short, the baby is now over 5 pounds. It's still another 3 weeks before it's over, even supposed to be born because they had to take it early. And everybody in our family knows that baby's alive. Yes, medical, yes, because my daughter did a lot of difficult things to see this baby be born. But the keys of hell and death are in the hands of the Lord Jesus, and it's our fasting and prayer that allowed that to all happen. When we fast, it's saying, I'm correcting myself. I'm judging myself. I'm doing self-correction, and I want you to hear this because the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, or in other words, the flesh, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Jesus said these things, or these kind, come not out but by prayer and fasting. You see, while Antifa is breaking glass and stealing and painting filthy words on the walls and protesting and being obnoxious, that's their warfare. But the weapons of a Christian's warfare is fasting and praying on their knees. And that's what we did for 48 hours. And I believe that I know it reached the throne. I know it did. You can go online, by the way. You can go to YouTube, go to Prophecy Club channel, and then click on the Watchman's Trumpet. You'll see it there. Each one was, we didn't know at that time, but the limit for is like 10 hours and 50 minutes for YouTube to record. So not all 48 hours got recorded. We didn't know that. So we've only got two segments about 10 hours each. But still, you go there and you watch that. You start watching some of those prayers, and I don't think you'll be able to hold the tears back. I think you will be amazed at some of the prayers. I mean, these people came in loaded for bear. They came in. It was spiritual warfare. So the power of a Christian is fasting and prayer, because then we move the angels, and the angels move the mountains. One angel killed 187,000 Philistines in one evening. That's one angel. I mean, another angel killed, what was it, thousands of Israelis just because of a mistake by David. So those angels are really powerful. And that's the weapons of our warfare. there's a great cloud of witnesses around us. We just have to know who we are, and we have to know that we're sons of the Most High God, and that we're going to be kings and priests one day in the kingdom, and he's given all power and authority under the Son, and the Son has given power and authority to us. John 14:12. I think that's wrong. If you believe in me and the works that I do, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. So he has given us power to tread upon scorpions and snakes and over all the power of the enemy. So when we send out prayers, it is stronger than the devil. And I believe that our prayers, along with the rest of the prayers, I understand that there's other groups out there. Matter of fact, I understand that Franklin Graham and Jonathan Kahn are having several big meetings this weekend. But here's the difference. You know, they're gathering out in the open, and they're listening to Jonathan Kahn give a prophecy. That's not what we did. We fasted for 48 hours, and we prayed. And when they were praying for that five-minute prayer, the people in the room were amening, and they were agreeing with them. So, I mean, I want all the people that will possibly pray, that will possibly assemble. I want all the prayers we can possibly get. But in terms of really doing it right, ours was the group that fulfilled the solemn September assembly. I asked Danny Coverstone, I said, is there anybody else out there having meetings that they are calling a solemn September assembly? He said, no. Is there anyone else that has called you to a meeting that is called solemn September assembly? No. Is there anyone else that's called you to a big prayer meeting? No. So I believe that this is that fulfillment. And that's not taking anything away from other people out there that are assembling and fasting and praying. But I haven't even heard of anyone else even fasting. Now, the whole article didn't say anything that I read about Jonathan Kahn's, and I'm not running them down. I mean, yes, we want the prayers. I'm only saying, if we want the very best results, it comes by fasting and prayer. Dan.
Yeah, amen. I agree. I wanted you to explain fasting and prayer, because there's a lot of people that, you know, get saved, but, you know, they don't get, there's a lot missing in the church. They don't get fully taught, let's just call it that way, Stan, or they may get saved, you know, out in the street or whatever, but they don't get fully taught. And so they don't understand what fasting is all about, and so that makes it super powerful.
Well let me ask this about,
go ahead.
It's about fasting. When there's different kinds of fasts, like there's a remaining fast where you don't eat as long as the sun is up. Sun goes down, you can eat. Okay, that's fine, but that's not the kind of fast we were calling for. We were calling for a no food fast. We said, if you have to, you can have juice or coffee or something like that. Matter of fact, I drank coffee when I was there. Coffee and lots of water. I had some kind of a carbonated drink. I think you'd call it ice. I had one of those. But no food. And Pastor Massey will do no food, no water fast. As a matter of fact, his wife, Esther, left the meeting, and he said she was going to the room to do a no food, no water fast. I did one of those one time, and I could only make it 50 hours, and I was going to sleep, and man, I could tell I was sinking. 50 hours, no food, no water. I said, I gotta go drink water, cause I'm not convinced.
Yeah, amen. I know my wife does it on the Day of Atonement every year, and I don't know how she does it. I look at her lips and they get so parched, you know, and I just, oh, okay. But, amen. So, this was a big thing. Is it, this going to happen again?
Well, yes. Thank you for mentioning that. So, here's what has happened. In the prophecy that Andre Bronkhorst gave us August 7th of 2019, one of the things this great prophet God prophesied, he said that there are three people in Texas that I'm giving you to link together for ministry. So, man, 3 or 4 months ago, this guy out of Harlingen, this pastor, and started emailing back and forth, and he was going to invite Leslie and I to come down and have a meeting. So at the crusade Saturday morning, one of the other ministers said, hey, some of the people are complaining that there's some people back there talking and making too much noise and is interrupting. you want to go back and check and see if there's a problem? So I was walking back to check to see if there's a problem, which I didn't see anybody. But I didn't make it all the way back there either, because this pastor out of Harlingen came up, Luis is his name, and came up, oh, hey, you know, and he introduced himself to me, and we hugged. He brought his wife over there. Well, so somehow we wound up that it was on their heart to have a solemn October, I guess you'd call it, a solemn prayer assembly on Halloween. And I told him, I said, well, yesterday morning, the Lord spoke to Leslie that we need to be doing another one of these prayer assemblies before the election. And well, I just felt the anointing touch me just as I said that. So that confirms. So now I've got it confirmed. We are going to do the meeting. So let me get to the meeting. So we don't have the place, it'll probably be Monday before we have it all confirmed. But we think that a church that seats about 1,000 people is going to have us in. I'll take the team down there. I'll advertise on the radio. We'll bring all the Prophecy Club people down there that can possibly come. We're going to do the same thing. We'll do 30 minutes praise and worship morning and evening. And then we'll have brief talks from the speakers, from the ministers. But again, all of those are just to guide our prayers. And then the rest is 5-minute prayers with the prayer topics on the overhead in the background as the praying. So you can pray silently. You can pray with the person behind the speaker or behind the microphone, or you can pray the prayer topics on the overhead. And we're going to do this one, a 24-hour fast, 24 hours, and it'll start midnight on Halloween and then conclude at the ending of Halloween, which is because of the time change, it'll actually be 25 hours. So we're going to fast and pray for 25 straight hours, and we're going to keep it going in the overnight, just like we did at the other Solemn September Assembly. And we will have it up on watchmanstrumpet.com, hopefully by mid next week. So if you want to come, if you want to be in, I mean, probably at least it's everybody there said it's the greatest prayer service they've ever been in. Leslie said it's the most significant meeting she has ever been in. And I agree. I mean, this people's lives were changed. Their lives were changed. Getting up there and praying with fire. I mean, oh, wow. I mean, those kind of prayers, they will dust anybody. I mean, you think you're a prayer warrior, you come to this meeting, and you'll find out how to really pray.
Yeah. Amen. I can only imagine the amount of angels that had to have been around that, because I've never heard of in my lifetime, I've never heard of that many people fasting and praying all in the same place and in union. That's just incredible, man.
Yeah. Well,
go ahead.
I mean, the place seated 880, and everybody was, you know, they could distance or get together, whatever they wanted to do. And, I mean, it was an awesome thing. It was an awesome move of God.
Well, let's talk about this for a minute. You brought it up to me when I was talking to you on the phone. You said Dana had something to say about Passover, maybe. You want to talk about that, or you want to talk about something else?
Yeah. Let me get to that.
Okay.
Let me pull it up. All right. Hang on.
It's all right. Take your time.
Here it is. Okay. Then I saw... This is part of the dream. Then I saw this big billboard saying, Passover 2021. Big things are coming for the world. Then it repeats again. Big things are coming for the world. Now let's just pause a second and talk about what that's talking about, because that's big. See, the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. For example, if the Bible says that it's appointed man once to die and then the judgment. But that is an unconfirmed verse. There's no place else in the Bible where it says that. And it's a good thing, because, see, when the Bible says something once, that's not confirmed, meaning that it's not always hard and fast to be true. It means that sometimes yes, sometimes no. But when the Bible says it twice, it means it's confirmed. It is coming. In this case, the billboard said Passover 2021, big things are coming for the world. Big things are coming for the world. Okay, now, before we go to the next part, what are the big things? Well, in my opinion, Passover is the true start of the Jewish year. That was the night that the Passover lamb was told to be put on the doorpost and the lintels. I mean, on the doorpost, the death angel passed over. That was the night that Moses was called into the Pharaoh. Pharaoh's first child died. Pharaoh told him, pack your bags and get out. That was the day that he sent the people out to take gold and silver in great abundance and raiment and things like that. And they spoiled the Egyptians. So Passover is a change. It's a change from an old season of sin to a new season of holiness. It's a change where the death angel passes over, meaning it's a judgment. The death angel passes over all of those that are washed in the blood. If you're washed in the blood, then the death angel doesn't hit you. It's also the start of blessings, because that's when they threw the kneading troughs on their shoulders and they left 3 days' journey down to the first fruits, or the crossing of the Red Sea. First fruits is another picture of leaving sinful Egypt and coming into the promised land. So it's the starting of the Jewish year, contrary to what some people are telling you, but I looked it up again to make sure, and it's absolutely the starting of the year. So Passover is a signal that things are changing. Now, hang on. Let's go to the rest of it. So Passover 2021, big things are coming for the world. Big things are coming for the world. Then the white figure, meaning the angel, appeared again and said, do not stop bracing, listen carefully, for the storm will not pass until I stop the storm. So brace yourselves and don't look back. So what's he meaning? Do not stop bracing, for the storm will not pass until I stop the storm. So brace yourselves and do not look back. See, Passover is a sign that the old curses, the 10 curses brought upon Egypt, were stopped, and it's a picture of the new world starting, and blessings and a new life for the people of Israel. And in our case, the people of God. So I believe what we're going to see on Passover 2021, I believe this is what the word is saying, that we can look for the storm not to pass until Passover 2021. And what does that mean? I believe that the storm about all this protesting, all of this burning and looting and the fighting that's going to take place because Trump wins, all of that is going to continue until Passover 2021. COVID and whatever new virus comes along is going to continue until Passover 2021. And on Passover 2021, the 10 curses, the curses of the past, will be stopped. And the new blessings of gold comes into the hands of the children of Israel. What are we talking about? Well, as you recall, Proverbs 13:22 says, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. What? Well, you see, that's an unfulfilled prophecy. Yes, it's only stated one time in the Bible, but I'll take it. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. According to finalwakeupcall.info, it says that they're bringing in a new financial system. They're removing the old SWIFT system, and they're setting up a new SIPS system. Why? Because for 300 years, the Moloch and the Baal worshippers that openly worship Lucifer by name, they believe in sacrifice, child molestation. They drink people's blood. I mean, it's the unbelievable evil that we Christians, we don't even like saying it, much less thinking about it. But these people have controlled our financial system for over 300 years. And this, I believe, is going to be the changing of the guard. This is going to be moving from the old fiat system where the dollar is worthless, it's not backed by anything, to a new financial system backed by assets. And those people that God is putting into that system, we believe will be, again, we believe this is Proverbs 13:22 taking place. So let me back up. Let me summarize what I think it's saying. I think that we are going to look at probably suitcase nukes going off. We're going to look at fighting in the streets. We're going to, according to the prophecies, this is not going to be just downtown in the big streets. These people are going to come into our neighborhoods. I had a vision Monday night that three men came into my garage and they were rummaging through my house to steal things. So if that's happening, if God is warning me of that from my house, brothers and sisters, you better understand it's coming to your neighborhood too. It's coming to your house too. Part of one of the things Coverstone saw in several of the dreams, he saw people hiding in their homes, afraid to get out of their homes, and he saw them shivering in the cold, guns in hand, afraid to get out of their homes. That's coming. Now, it's only coming if we don't pray enough. And I'm doing everything I can. Hopefully you're doing everything you can. Hopefully you can make arrangements to get to Harlingen, Texas, if we can get this thing all set up on Halloween, because Halloween is the devil's night. So I think it's slapping his face to be fasting and praying and calling down the angels to do warfare 3 days before the election starts on the Halloween night. I think that's going to be, if we can do, if the devil's mad, I'm glad. If you damage the devil, I'm happy about that. And I think, here's what I think. I think we have to pray. Now, how much we can soften and delay or pray away, I don't know. But I know if we don't pray, this is the bad things that are coming. We're talking about, look, 20 to 50 suitcase nukes go off, you can kiss your electricity goodbye. And then 3 days later, there's no more water in the pipes. There's probably not any natural gas in the pipes. Your refrigerators, 3 days later that, and then everything goes to lukewarm and starts.
Dan, I hate to do this. We're on live radio. We only got like about 2 minutes, so, you know, I want to tell you that. So 2 minutes, wrap it up, do whatever you want, okay?
Okay, all right. Here's what I suggest you do. If you need to have some gold and silver. You need to have some gold and silver. And I recommend cornerstoneassetmetals.com. And if you mention Prophecy Club, it helps us. I also recommend you get yourselves some food that won't spoil, and you can get the good stuff because they've got just a new shipment in specifically for Prophecy Club, heavensharvest.com. And if you use the promo code STAN, it helps us too, heavensharvest.com. Get yourself prepared for the things that are coming up, my brothers and sisters. Also, go to prophecyclub.com. When you go to prophecyclub.com, you want to click on those five different books there. As a matter of fact, I understand that the big offer that is selling like crazy is all five of the books, the five books that I've written. And there you can get like 40 of them for like $100. It's just amazing. And that includes the first book. I'll tell you briefly about that. So in 2017, I memorized the book of Revelation. In the process, I got 30 revelations, 2 visions, and an audible voice. God showed me the word first fruits is a secret door linking the feast of Leviticus to the prophecies in Revelation, for the first time allowing a person to put the events and the prophecies in Revelation in correct chronological order. You want that book. Next is Miss the Mark. Don't take the mark of the beast. If you get that book, you'll read that and you'll hand it around to all your friends and family so they will not take the mark of the beast. Finally, I just wrote Tribulation Secrets in Daniel, and I'll let that tell you about it. Also just wrote How Preacher of One, which I heard the promo talking about it, and that is the book that gives you the four principles that you need to understand. Then, all of a sudden, you can understand all of the scriptures about the raptures that are so confusing right now. So it's a book that will bring clarity so you can really understand it at prophecyclub.com. Prophecyclub.com. Watchmanstrumpet.com for the prayer thing. Watchmanstrumpet.com. Back to you.
Okay, that's the one I was going to ask you about. So you gave both of them. I will put those in the links. Stan, thanks for being on. Of course, you can come back anytime. And be blessed, as I know you are.
Thank you, sir.
Goodbye and shalom. Well, folks, that was Stan Johnson, founder of the Prophecy Club. Go over to prophecyclub.com and check it out. We'll also have the links to that when this goes to podcast. But pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We do really need your help. We're right out there on the front line. You can donate online, mail a check or money order, whatever. But remember, folks, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. And the Bible actually mandates it. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, I pray you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Till next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.